recording on the readings read today at Mass. Remember, inspired by the Word of God, you can be more fully alive.
This is Full-Time Catholic Radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit.
Brazil is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I can't spell Armageddon. Not the end of the world. Delighted to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thank you for joining me. Whether it's for a few minutes and your IQ goes up about 3.6 points, or the whole program, at which point you could get some type of cerebral rush. Fortunately, you decompress after the program is over. Here's how the program works. Call-in program, 877-573-7825. That's call. That's the number to call to get onto the program. You'll get Andrew Krucek, the producer man, head call screamer, or Joe Kennedy, the assistant call screamer. He takes the calls down towards the bottom of the lines there. That's the only ones we let him handle. I am the host of the program. Doesn't even say Dr. Ray is in. It just says the doctor's in. It's kind of a generic program. Have you noticed that? It's kind of like doctor. Or what airline did you fly? I don't know. It just had plane on the side of it. The doctor is in. It's kind of nondescript, isn't it? I'm the doctor who is in. Ray Guarendi is my name. I'm a psychologist. That's what I do. Spending a lot of time at the office this week. Sometimes that happens. Here, I cannot do office stuff. I can't diagnose, and I certainly do not give opinions over and above any therapist you might be seeing or professional piece of advice. But we can educate, give ideas and thoughts, and ponder the situation in the short time that we have. If you make the cut, if there are many, many things I wish to say much further that I don't have time to say, then you go to Look Back Friday, where we take your call, and we take different angles to the call on Fridays. 877-573-7825. I usually list the monologues as they occur to me. Throughout the day, throughout a therapy session, throughout interacting with relatives and friends or life in general, something hits me to talk about. So I write them down. If I don't, I forget. Sometimes they get preempted. Something kicks in that I decide I'm going to address today that wasn't even on the list. The list has already been made up for future programs. That happened today. As a psychologist, I see an awful lot of people who, because of their thinking, are much more sad, miserable, fretful, overanalytic, ruminating than they need be. This stuff assaults them. It plagues them. Plays with their head. And I think, has the human condition always been this way? Have people always wrestled with this kind of internal agony, this overthinking, this overanalyzing, this guilt, obsessive type thinking, self-deprecating type thinking, worry, all of these thought patterns that create human distress? Is this just an innate part of the human condition? Or is it something that is more common to our day and age? I've come to the conclusion it is more common to our day and age. This is not to say that humans don't have this bent to do this. However, I got to thinking. Most of human history has been quite turbulent. Personally, very challenging. In the words of one author, the human existence for most of history has been nasty, brutish, and short. People struggled to exist. Much of their time was spent just eking out survival. Even as late as 100, 150 years ago in our culture, you're on a farm in 1880 on the prairie, your day was spent getting food, growing food, working, making clothes, making soap. That was your day. You were consumed with the demands of living. When I was in grad school, we had to learn a whole bunch of personality theories, and I remember thinking personality theory is just a history of psychology at all it is because you get these theorists that get together and try to explain the human condition with their particular theory, and their particular theory always fell short because the human existence is so much more complex. A guy named Abraham Maslow. Maslow, if you remember, some of you went to college and you had to take a Psych 101 course, or an abnormal psych course, or a personality course. Hierarchy of human needs. And he had this pyramid. You had to meet these needs at the bottom of the pyramid first so you could move up all the way to the top, which was self-actualization. The bottom was survival needs, air, food, water. Then he had other needs as you moved on up. Physical relations, interpersonal relations, all the way up to self-actualization. You know, the perfectly well-wrapped individual at the very top of the pyramid, because indeed, all of these other things had been met. He didn't have to worry. He or she didn't have to worry about meeting all these more base human needs, and he could spend his time thinking how to be well-adjusted. Well, I think that Maslow's pyramid is on its head. Because what I've noticed, I'm not old enough to have an actual historical perspective. But Teresa Tomeo is. I've noticed that when our needs are met, when we don't have to worry about really surviving anymore, we have plenty of food, plenty of shelter. Most of us are not threatened by conquerors, danger. Didn't have to worry that somebody would just take our stuff, hurt our families, hurt our children. Bad rulers would make our lives miserable. Most of us don't have to worry about that. Once all those needs are met, we spend our time, because we have more time, thinking. And our thinking tends to not be the kind of thinking that makes us better wrapped, makes us more content, makes us more well-adjusted. No, oftentimes the kind of thinking that we engage in is fretful. It's worrying thinking. What if, what if, what if? It is ruminating over wrongs that have been done to us in our minds, and we don't let them go. In other words, we simply have more time, more opportunity to think ourselves into a fretful or negative condition. I've noticed this. I know personally, if I pretty much had to worry about where my next meal was coming from, that would occupy most of my thoughts. All the other things that I can conjure up in my head to make me miserable would probably be in the background. I got to worry about eating. Or if my very survival was at stake through threats, be they animals or other people, danger, real danger, or my home could be consumed by fire or illness. I had 6 children, but 2 of them died before they were 5. I wouldn't spend as much time agonizing over so many things that upset me. I believe this is a true theory. I believe it holds. This is not to say that we don't do our best to help people who do this. But I do think it's an explanation that in the human existence, the history of humankind, notice I didn't say mankind. I mean, I want to, but I'm afraid to. It should be hue person kind, too, because man is still in there. In the you can't even say history. It's got his in it. Oh, man, I don't even know how to express myself anymore. Oops, I shouldn't say, oh, man. Oh, people, I don't even know how to express myself anymore. In the history of the human condition, it would seem to me that the amount of, if you want to call it neuroticism, that's a strong word. But the kind of thinking that makes us miserable at so many levels didn't have as much of a foothold because we had to be concerned with life, with struggles of existence. I read somewhere in a Bible commentary that when our Lord so much talked about food, it was because perhaps the majority of people in Palestine at that time didn't know if they were going to have enough food for the rest of the day. Having food was something that was always a concern. I will tell you, when you're worried about where your next meal's coming from, you don't have a whole lot of time to get lost in your own thoughts that can make you miserable. Of course, it's a good thing I didn't live then, you know. I wouldn't have as much business. Yeah, that's it. Somebody coming into my office. I'm nervous. I don't know where my next meal's coming from. I say, okay, we need to do relaxation training so that you're not nervous about starving. 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal. I'm Dr. There's one line open there. Oh, wait a minute. Let me read that before I take a break. Who was it that wrote this? Joe or Andrew? Self-actualization refers to the desire for self-fulfillment. Namely, to the tendency, it says for him, I'm going to say for one, to become actualized in what he is potentially. While the theory is generally portrayed as a fairly rigid hierarchy, Maslow noted that the order in which these needs are fulfilled does not always follow the standard progression. In other words, what he means is, hey, you can self-actualize even when you don't know when your next meal's coming from. That's what Maslow says. We never looked at it that way. Am I self-actualized? I don't know, because right now I'm hungry. It's Dr. Ray.
David DeLeiden is the brave young man who exposed the injustices of Planned Parenthood and altered the entire abortion debate. Meet him and hear him speak Friday, April 29th, Christ the King Parish in Ann Arbor. Also enjoy the beautiful music of Eric Jenness. This is an event you won't want to miss. April 29th, tickets on sale now. See ProLifeSociety.com, ProLifeSociety.com.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by our day sponsor, Holy Spirit Catholic School in Brighton, which will have an open house on Sunday, March 20th. Holy Spirit has the highest proficiency rating for any elementary school in the Diocese of Lansing. Come and see what makes them great. Go to HolySpiritRCS.org. If you have a message you want to share, be a day sponsor at 877-288-1077.
The mystery of death has troubled and fascinated humanity since the beginning of time. Our own experiences of mourning deceased family members and friends teach us the deep longing of the human heart for hope in the face of death. Many Catholics have lost a clear sense of how to face this experience with faith and peace. Planning funeral services in advance is not only a gift to our family and friends, but it is an affirmative way to embrace our own call to resurrection. Please take this time to call your local parish or diocese about pre-planning your cemetery and funeral rites. This message brought to you by Catholic Management Services.
Are you tired of the way your faith is represented in the mainstream media? Stop getting your Catholic news from secular sources and get it from a trusted local Catholic source instead. At the Michigan Catholic Newspaper, we're Catholic, and we cover your Catholic Church in a way that only Catholics could. For the same reason you listen to Ave Maria, get the Michigan Catholic for just $24 a year by calling 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
Well, I'll tell you what, I shouldn't admit this. When I was a kid, we really did some very foolish things. I'm talking about taking crazy risks, living life on the edge. We drank water right from the tap.
Yeah.
We used aspirin bottles that you could actually open with your bare hand.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time my mother bought an appliance that had no safety warnings on it, such as do not bathe with this toaster. Oh yeah, talk about hierarchy of needs. Chantel Dutel from Portland, Oregon. Hi Chantel, how are you?
Hi, I'm all right, thanks. How are you?
What choice did you make that your in-laws say, absolutely not, that was reputation, relationship ruining, and we want no more to do with you?
Well, it's funny because we had actually made the choice before I met my in-laws. I had a daughter before I got married, and we are on a delayed vaccination schedule for our own personal choices. And my mother-in-law knew that before she was my mother-in-law, had a relationship with us for 2 years, and she is post-op kidney transplant. So she has a suppressed immune system and all that. She knew this for 2 years, and suddenly when her daughter, my sister-in-law, found out, she said,
Mom, you can't go near her because if they got that virus because they haven't vaccinated, you could catch her. You have a compromised immune system.
Well, originally it was my kid could catch it, and then she changed it to, well, you could also catch it. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of a, if you see them, you can't see me kind of thing. And then it kind of evolved into, well, you could get sick, so you shouldn't see them.
Where's your husband in this?
A quiet man, that's where he is.
So he's trying to avoid conflict somehow.
Yes, desperately.
Mm-hmm. Have you still avoided the vaccinations?
Well, we have stayed with what we have said. We have my daughter's older. She's 8, and she will be getting them slowly. And my other daughter is 5 months old, so we're waiting until she's 1 to get anything.
Okay.
So in this time that they haven't seen us, I've had a baby, and they've never met her. Christmases, birthdays have come and gone, and they've just refused to see us.
How does your husband see his family?
He is shocked, genuinely shocked. He really didn't think this was something they would do. He is baffled.
Does he go visit them?
They don't let him.
Oh, what's wrong with him?
Well, he's around us, so.
So he could get sick?
Yeah.
Chantel,
mm-hmm.
Do you think it goes deeper than this?
My guess is yes, because it's. I genuinely, some days I'm like, I must have misunderstood them because this doesn't sound right. But I'm thinking it does go deeper than that, yeah.
I think they don't like you for some reason.
My sister-in-law and I have had a little bit of, we're both very strong women, and it's kind of had us clashing in the past.
So you ain't going to get the benefit of the doubt. If there's a way to basically
punish you or take a stance, she go and do it.
Right, and that's what it seems like. And between me and her, that's fine. But the fact that she's taken my my husband's parents along with her is what's really
It's got to be tough on your husband.
It is. It is very tough on him.
What if you went to him?
And like I said,
what if you went to him, Chantel, and you said, "Okay, do we have any flexibility in our vaccination schedule as we see it? Let's talk to some professionals, see if we got some flexibility here. If we don't, if we're deciding we're going to stay with our vaccination schedule, tell him you would not in any way take it personal or feel neglected or shunted aside if he found a way to visit his mother. And to tell her that hopefully you'll be able to reconnect if and when she's satisfied that these vaccinations have made your children safe to be around. Because if you're... Go ahead, dear. Go ahead.
Yeah, I actually just told my husband yesterday that he should take my youngest daughter because my older daughter is not his biologically. He's adopted her, but biologically she's not his. But they haven't met the baby, so I said, why don't you just take the baby over there and just figure out a way so that they can see her? Cause
how do you know they
so
won't freak out if you walk in with the kid?
That's what he said. That's what he said. And I'm from a very different kind of family where we just sort of do that kind of thing. We just kind of walk into other people's houses.
You must be Italian. You must be Italian. Got to be ethnic.
We're Arabic, actually.
Yeah, you got to be ethnic. We just show up with food. I walk you onto my aunt and uncle and say, what do you got to eat?
Yeah. That's exactly how it is. So
okay.
It's tricky for me to understand this sort of...
realize that that is the way it is right now. And that's not going to change. She's not going to change, especially if you have the sister-in-law who really doesn't like you, because you used a lot of cute code words that said, we're both strong personalities. That means you butt heads. So given that, probably you're not going to get anywhere. You want to do damage control and let your husband not feel caught in the middle here somehow, some way, even if he has to call his mother and say, hey, Ma, how do I work this out so I can come and see you? And then we'll hopefully down the road when the vaccination schedule is all done, we'll come in and we'll be able to see you again, and it'll be good. See if that can happen. Don't put yourself as the difficult in-law who doesn't allow this connection to take place.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Good luck to you, dear. Congratulations on the babies.
Thank you so much.
All right. I'll talk to you.
Bye.
Let's see, Michelle from Indiana. I'm going to have Michelle. I don't really have any thoughts about this. I probably should Google it. You know what I mean? To see what I think.
Okay, you could do that.
The only thing I can do with my computer is I can Windex the screen. That's pretty much the extent of what I can do.
You know, first I wanted to say to you, thank you. You know, we from listening to you and reading your adoption book, we have 5 children that are adopted, all within the last 4.5 years. So we owe a lot to you.
Wait a minute. That adoption book came out about 4, 5, 6 years ago. And
we got it brand new.
And then you read that thing and then went and adopted a bunch of kids?
What it did was we went from just adopting a domestic baby to, all right, let's open it up to international adoption and siblings. And we went to 2 siblings, and then when we came home, put it in again. And then we saw 3 siblings and adopted them. And it just, the way it was just the timing of it. But, yeah, so we have 5 now.
Well, now, wait a minute. I think I should at least get a percentage credit. Okay, our Lord says, and this, whoever welcomes one of these little ones welcomes me. And St. James says, this is faith that is pure before the Lord, that we take care of the widows and the orphans in their distress. So, if you're getting, say, days lopped off your purgatory because you've welcomed these little children, well, I should get a percentage credit, maybe 1.5%, something like that.
I think you might be getting more credit, actually, than probably I will be getting, because, you know, that whole drive-through confession thing.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the thing. Yeah, you don't want to screw up the kids, because if that happens, and then all of a sudden I lose my credit, and I didn't do anything wrong, you were the one who got all
exactly.
frustrated and basically said, "Bless me, Father, I don't want to shoot my kid with a bazooka, but sometimes." Well, I'll tell you what. I wanted to play around here with the whole question here, but I'm going to be right back with you because I got about 10 seconds here and the music's going to start. So stay right there, okay?
All right. Yep.
And we will. Congratulations on all those kids. By the way, you realize that is approximately that's about $18,000 in tax deductions plus the credits. Man,
there you go.
That's pretty good. I remember when we had 10 kids at home, I didn't pay any taxes at all. Oh, they just put a picture of me up there when I was 26. I'll be right back. This is Dr. A. Talk to you.
The healthcare system is broken. And hope seems lost for us as Catholics who dream of a healthcare option that can meet the needs of our love for our dear faith. Imagine a new way to think about healthcare, based on principles of Christ-centered caring. There is a new solution, a revolution built on the love of Christ and Christian community, CMF Curo. This is Lewis Brown, director of CMF Curo, and I invite you to join the revolution at cmfcuro.com. That is cmfcuro.com.
This Ave Maria radio program is brought to you in part by St. Gregory Retreat Centers, America's new standard for substance abuse recovery programs. The St. Gregory Recovery Program combines the latest in evidence-based treatment with traditional Catholic teaching on virtue. Mass and reconciliation are also available. More information is available today at 888-249-0008 or stgregoryctr.com.
Underwriting for this program is from Affirm Films.
Columbia Pictures presents, in association with Affirm Films, Miracles from Heaven. When 10-year-old Anna Bean develops a rare incurable disease, her mother devotes herself to finding a solution.
Miracles are everywhere.
Then, after Anna has a freak accident, a miracle unfolds. How do we explain the impossible? Miracles from Heaven, starring Jennifer Garner, now playing. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested. More information is available at miraclesfromheaven-movie.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. With me, Steve Ray. We're going to be traveling in the footsteps of St. Paul with Bishop Earl Boyer.
We're going to be on a ship, and it's going to take us through Italy, Greece, and Turkey. We're going to visit all the sites of St. Paul and even the Blessed Virgin Mary. We're going to step back 2,000 years.
This is wonderful. St. Paul, of course, the great missionary of early Christianity. It's an amazing experience, isn't it, going to the exact locations?
It is. It's like taking black and white and turning it into Technicolor.
So again, this is coming up this November. Go to AveMariaRadio.net.
Click on the pilgrimage link.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Thank you for joining me on The Doctor's Inn, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Website, drray.com, D-R-R-A-Y.com. Before we go back to Michelle waiting patiently, she got to wait patiently. She adopted 5 kids. Yeah, Michelle, once the tax deductions wear off, then where are you going to be? But I'm quoting Dave Barry here, who talked about the risks we took as children. He says, for sheer insanity, the wildest thing we ever did in our youth was we deliberately ingested carbohydrates. Yeah, I was in college. You know, you go to a party, be a lava lamp blooping away. And then when the mood was right, somebody would say, "You want to do some drates?" And the next thing you know, there'd be a bowl of pretzels sitting right there, or crackers or potato chips. And I'm not proud of this. We would just eat them. Our only excuse, we were ignorant. It's not like now, when everybody says how bad carbohydrates are, and virtually every product is advertised as low carb, beer, denture adhesive, floor wax, tires, life insurance. Back then, we had no idea. My own mother gave me bread. Do you believe that? I probably could sue her. Statute of limitations ran out. Michelle, you still there, dear?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, sweetie. Now, the five adopted kids, is that in addition to some biological children?
No.
Okay, so you got five kids. So I personally think one of the least of your worries is the computers being sent home with the kids. Nevertheless, I'm torn because on one hand, I don't like the idea at all. On the other hand, essentially, that is now how everybody in academia is basically saying the children must learn and have access. Can you get the best screening device put on those computers?
I mean, they're saying that, but then at the same time, they're saying that, you know, we're going to have collaborative community meetings and discuss as to what the community would like put on them. And
that had nothing to do with what the community would like put on them. Community is not raising your children. And furthermore, my guess would be a couple of your adopted children are going to be a little more easily influenced, shall we say?
Absolutely.
Yeah, no. So because of this, I would independently take that computer, and if you don't know how to do this, take it to your local computer place and say, I want screening put on this so that all potentially nasty websites are off limits. And there would have to be a password, even if a website, for example, let's say that Greek mythology is something that the kids have to look up for school. But it just so happens on that website there's a picture of some naked gods, goddesses. Well, it's going to be screened. Okay, well, you put your password in and allow access to the Greek mythology website kind of thing. Any parent who does not have the best of screening mechanisms on their computers or their children's iPhones is absolutely playing with fire, and it's a matter of time before they're going to get burned. So you go over and above that school district.
Yeah, they're putting on a security system, and they're saying that it will be solid. Okay. But I guess my concern is with five, you've got all these iPads coming home, it's going to be very hard to monitor.
Just make sure the security system's on there and make sure those iPads are certain places during the day. Maybe there's an hour allowed for homework from 5 to 6, and then the rest of the time the iPads are put up. Kids are not going to live on them. They're not going to go search for YouTube stuff that doesn't get screened out because it's nice, but yet at the same time they spent 3 hours on their iPads being entertained by video cocaine. Sure, you're allowed to do that. You're going to be out of step, but you're allowed to do it, and good for you.
Okay.
More and more decisions now have to be made by parents that do not go with the flow of the culture. That is the reality now.
Yeah, we've even thought about homeschooling because...
I used to say, homeschooling is one option. Now I say, if you think you can do it, do it. Because it will at the very least allow you to raise your children emotionally, morally at your pace.
Yeah, and especially when they are adopted, it's hard.
Yes, some adopted children really are harder to socialize, harder to moralize. And it's because you didn't have them in your womb, and there were all kinds of risk factors, neurologically speaking, in the history of that child, especially overseas children who are oftentimes neglected in the first 18 months or whatever. Bless you, dear. I'll talk to you.
Way to go. Thank you, Dr. A.
You're welcome, honey. Bye. Cool. The adoption book. She went out and adopted five. Boy. I am being... It's the word I'm looking for. Pensive. I'm being pensive. Okay. Let's see where we're at here. Scroll back up here. Sonia from Los Angeles, California. Hi, Sonia.
Hello, Dr. Ray. Thank you for taking my call.
How are you listening out there in L.A.?
Ave Maria Radio.
On the web streaming?
Yes.
Okay. All right, got it.
Actually, right now I'm actually listening on the Sirius, actually, on the Sirius XM, because I'm in my car.
Channel 130.
Yes, channel 130.
Very easy to remember the channel. It is 25 below my IQ. Yeah.
Okay.
Real simple.
I met you, Dr. Ray. I met you at the marriage conference.
When?
In San Diego.
Oh, with the Catholic Answers folks.
Yes, with Catholic Answers, and you signed a couple books for me, so thank you.
That was a neat time. Truly a neat time.
It was amazing.
You know what happened? Did you notice how I started to stumble about 2 minutes into the talk because the teleprompter went down? Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Lost my teleprompter.
I thought you did amazing.
Oh, bless your heart. All right, you got a godson, not being taken care of by his mother. She's all over the place, and now Grandma stepped in and took over, huh?
Yeah, he lived with me for a year, and in that year, when he was 4 or 5, he did get into a routine. It was very, you know, challenging to get him into a routine, but he eventually did. He got potty trained, and you know, all these things going well. But my mom got sick, and she had open-heart surgery. So he went to stay with Grandma for a little bit after being with us for a year. So when it was time for me to take him back, I said to my niece, I'm okay with taking him back, but I feel like we need to do something more permanent because he's confused. And so she said, no, I'm going to keep him here at my mom's, and I'll get him right away.
If I remember correctly from your email, he caused a lot of disruption in your family.
He did. He was a handful, definitely.
All right. You stay right there.
Okay.
Because some of these breaks are a handful for me, but I'll be right back. This is Dr. Ray. Doctor is in, 877-573-7825. Anyone on the line at the end of the program is first up. All future programs, one per customer.
Divine Mercy Sunday was instituted by Jesus Christ himself in the 1930s when he appeared to St. Faustina and said to her, "He who refuses to pass through the door of my mercy must pass through the door of my justice." Jesus also said to her, "If they will not adore my mercy, they will perish for all eternity." God offers marvelous graces on Divine Mercy Sunday. Learn more about and participate in Divine Mercy Sunday.
Ann Arbor Smiles is a state-of-the-art dental practice led by the talents of doctors Dan Kennedy, Chris Marzoni, and Stephen Gray. One of their many satisfied patients is Debbie Herbeck, the wife of Fire on the Earth host Peter Herbeck.
For the past 25 years, our family has been going to Drs. Kennedy and Marzoni, and we've been receiving quality dental care. And one of the things we love about going there, besides all the friendly faces, is that the dentists really do know us, and they're really there to serve the needs of our family.
Go to AnnArborSmiles.com today.
This week, Ave Maria Radio and Our Lady of Grace Bookstore is pleased to highlight the K-8 Catholic Education of Spiritus Sanctus Academy in Plymouth.
Hi, I'm Sean Jaina, teacher and parent at Spiritus Sanctus Academy Plymouth.
And I'm Sarah Jaina, 8th grade student. What I love about my school is daily Mass, opportunities to read at Mass, and how we are taught to practice the virtues on a daily basis.
I love the daily Mass, too, and the uniforms and the virtue program designed by the sisters.
I participate in soccer, basketball, choir, and Mass counts, while my friends are also in volleyball, band, American Heritage Girls, and Cub Scouts. One of my favorite things is the 8th grade trip to D.C. for the March for Life.
Spiritus Sanctus welcomes you to your school. Learn more from their website, spiritussanctus.org. If you'd like to support scholarship for Catholic education, the Spiritus Sanctus Dinner Auction is Saturday, March 19th at Barton Hills. Call 734-414-8430 or at spiritussanctus.org.
Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. I'm Dr. Ray Grindy. Delighted to be talking to you. It's a privilege. Okay, I am talking to Sonia from Los Angeles, California. Talked before the break. Here's what I know. She took her nephew in. It's a godson. Sonia's that nephew too? Nephew also?
Both, yes.
Okay. And had him for about a year. It really caused a lot of disruption in their family. She's got older kids, and they had to do a lot because this poor kid has had a very turbulent existence with his single birth mom. Well, Grandma stepped in to help out birth mom. Now, birth mom says, Sonia, can you take him? Sonia says, well, we'd like to, but we'd like to adopt. We need something more permanent because, and she may not have said this to her niece, but she said, he causes enough disruption that we're willing to get into this for the long haul, but if this is going to be an old 3 months here, 6 months there, 9 months there, and he just completely disrupts our family and we're not helping him because he goes back to the environment he was in, I'm not sure about this.
Right.
Okay. Hey, do I understand communication? You know, is this, you know, when my wife says, Ray, you just don't listen. See, I told her, listen to the radio. The ladies call in. I understand. I can reflect back.
That's right.
The big question then, do we sacrifice to keep him for whatever, or do we stand our ground and say, no, all things considered, unless she agrees to something more permanent, we're not going to create the disruption. And the third question, are we being unchristian in doing that?
Right.
What do you want to do?
Well, you know, because he's been saying to me that when he turns 7, he wants to come back to my house. And, you know, so that gets at me, that gets at my heart. And I just don't know what is the best thing. Is the best thing for him our family? Is the best thing for him to stay at Grandma's, who I know loves him, but she works full time and I know she has, you know, a lot of distractions, or to make Mom responsible and knock on her door and say, here he is, raise your son?
Well, that would be nice if you could say, be responsible, and she would think, oh, my, I guess I better. But if that hasn't happened in the first 5 years, I'm not so sure that that's a likelihood. I think she's come to you because she's feeling overwhelmed again, and she needs a break. But she doesn't want to. She does not want to let you adopt. Because
right. What
would that be admitting? That I'm a terrible mother. That
right.
I gave up my child. This is awful. I don't want to. I do not want to get the comments from people.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your 5-year-old son? I placed him for adoption. What? What? I could never do that. Okay, so that's probably what's holding her back.
Yeah, even though that's happening anyway, because with her.
Wait, but that's okay. Because she hasn't officially, quote unquote.
Right.
You could do this. You could present to her some kind of agreement. You might have to talk to a lawyer about this. Of temporary custody, and she can have visitation, very free visitation, just let you know when she wants to come over. Now, that'll create some disruption in this little guy's life, but you have to assume that being with you guys will go a long way to counter that disruption. That's one. Two, if you say, we will just take him as long as she allows, because our goal is to give him some stability for some period of time. Recognizing that, he's going to be a handful, and we're going to have to get used to managing this boy because he's a different child-raising experience than our other kids. Yeah, that's right. If you can do that, do it. If you say to yourself, the chaos was so much that I actually believe it affected my other children. If you think that, then I can't see how you're under a Christian obligation to say, we need to take the child in. My wife and I would not generally adopt children older than our children that we had. We only did it once, but otherwise we wouldn't do it. There were children who obviously needed a home. We were not going to risk the well-being, the innocence of our children already in our home for older kids. Now, your case is a little different than that. This little guy is probably younger than your children, right?
He is, yes. I think, to be honest with you, that it affects my husband.
Ah.
Because I think he felt like he was done.
The big kid. Even though, yeah, the big kid.
Yes.
I don't want to go round on this one more time here, girl.
Right, right. Especially okay. when, you know, his family kind of asked him, why are you doing this?
Well, he's got to be on board, Sonia.
Okay.
You don't want to make this a marital issue. I remember I was moved. I watched a movie on a plane where this little 8-year-old kid got accidentally shot in a drive-by gang shooting. The movie was basically that the kid had not much of a life. I went home and I told my wife, honey, we got to adopt again. We can do this. At that point, we had 10. I said, we can do this. She said, well, Ray, if you want to, let you start the process. I said, okay, I will. Did all the finances that you had to do, filled out all the forms, or attended all the meetings. And then she took me out to TGI Fridays and said, Ray, if you want to do this, I'll do it. But I have to tell you, I'm at my load limit.
Okay.
And that was it. That pulled the plug for me.
Okay.
She made the call. I mean, if you're not both on the same page, then you can't push. You can't push this, Sonia.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Have him visit as much as possible. Thanks, honey. All right. Talk to you.
Thank you. God bless.
Okay.
All right.
Let me go to Phil here real quick. Debbie, I don't know if that's your picture or not. We're debating this. Why not? Debbie, we're debating whether this is your picture. I'm saying that's a picture from somewhere on the internet. Okay? Phil.
Yes.
Has a wife who goes to church but does not believe in this church stuff, huh?
Unfortunately, no.
Why does she go?
I think just out of a sense of obligation. We were, you know, we both were raised, Catholic. I think the thing that really kind of set the stage for this was I went through a really difficult time and made a huge lifestyle change and really decided that the most important thing in my life was committing myself to Christ and following the church as best I can. And, you know, as much as I can tell her that, look, I'm still a sinner, I'm still this, I'm that, but the church does have certain rules that we have to follow if we're going to, quote, be Catholic, okay?
Yeah, but she's not going to be Catholic. She's just going to church with you to kind of to be a partner.
Yeah, and what makes it difficult is, although she does, I know she has faith and she believes in God and Christ, everything she does is with a group of Protestant friends. And when she does, you know, when I do ask her questions, you know, she just really pushes back. So I've let things go, but I mean, one thing in particular is, like, I don't think she's gone to confession in maybe 12 years.
Phil, is she Catholic?
In the most basic sense, she says she is, yes.
Okay, so she was baptized Catholic.
Correct.
All right. Don't push her, man. Don't
but
push
it gets hard, you know.
Don't
I mean,
push her.
I
be grateful for what she's doing. Phil, I've got a book out, my most recent one, called When Faith Causes Family Friction. There are two questions in that book that directly address your situation. One is when you have a faithful spouse and the other spouse doesn't quite understand them. That's one. The second one is a question of a spouse going to church who does not believe, but goes to church anyway. What do you do with a person like that? Okay, so that's in that book. I'm going to try to summarize a little bit what I think you need to do. First of all, you got to know your faith so you can answer her honest questions. That's it. You've got to be able to explain the faith to her in an honest way, because she's going to hear a lot of stuff, most likely from her Protestant friends, that is going to make her doubt the Catholic Church and its teaching. Two, you tell her that you're ever so grateful she's with you at church, but give her her own pace to come to believe. You can't push it. You can't force it. Obviously, talk to her about...
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dr. Ray.
Talk to her about communion. That, in fact, she doesn't believe what the church teaches, and indeed she has been away from the church those years. Please don't go to communion, because this is the very... this is the very utmost of our belief system. And by going to communion, she would say, I believe and confess everything that the Catholic Church teaches, which she doesn't. So just be grateful that she's going with you. You want to pick up that book. It's on my website. It might help you, because it directly addresses these kinds of things.
Okay.
God bless you, Phil. I got to run. This is Dr. A. Be back.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by our day sponsor, Holy Spirit Catholic School in Brighton, which will have an open house on Sunday, March 20th. Holy Spirit has the highest proficiency rating for any elementary school in the Diocese of Lansing. Come and see what makes them great. Go to holyspiritrcs.org. If you have a message you want to share, be a day sponsor at 877-288-1077.
Ladies and gentlemen, Janet Bentivick here. Join me, Father Philip Scott and Thomas Sullivan, for our special Year of Mercy Women of Grace one-day event, March 19th in Orchard Lake at Orchard Lake Schools, twice visited by St. John Paul II, the Mercy Pope. Our theme is By His Stripes We Are Healed, Infinite Mercy, Preparation for the Spiritual Battle. Be inspired, be renewed, be set free. Visit womenofgrace.com or call 800-558-5452.
The Doctor Is In is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at charitymobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
The Heart to Heart Apostolate meets this Wednesday the 16th at Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor. Christian families are not exempt from the pressure and influence of secular society and their accepted norms. Homiletics instructor Paco Gavrilides will provide a spiritual and practical wisdom for evangelizing our families as well as others. That's this Wednesday starting at 7:30 p.m. at Lobby H of Domino's Farms. All adults are welcome. For more information, go to hearttoheartcwa.com.
Jay Leno said that General Mills is coming out with an organic Twinkie. Wouldn't that be called a sponge? Dr. Ray, thanks for joining me. We'll go to Debbie here. Give her a few minutes before we have to get off the air. Hi, Deb.
Hi.
Now, your daughter, who is 15, you say is having numerous mental health struggles. What do you mean?
Okay. She's actually my granddaughter.
Okay.
She's 16 now. When she was 2 years and 2 months old, her mother, our daughter, a single mom, got sick. 5 months later, she died.
Oh,
we took her in and raised her, sent her to the Catholic school. She started having problems with classmates at kindergarten, but nothing terribly unusual. When she was in third grade, she started doing things like not doing her homework, hiding her homework papers in our furnace and other places that you wouldn't, you know, seem crazy. But anyway, it became apparent as she got older that her behaviors were not normal childhood behaviors. We started counseling for her when she was 7 or 8. She's been in therapy for 8 years with 2 different therapists.
She's still in therapy?
She's still in therapy. When she was It's been thought that she had attention deficit. She was on medication for that. That seemed to help a little bit, but the behaviors were still, you know, I mean, it improved her concentration, but her behaviors were still there. At one time, it was thought she had reactive attachment disorder because of, you know, her mother being sick, which after she just turned two.
Did her mother have a bad history? Her mother was a little bit shaky or not necessarily the most healthy?
It wasn't so much her pregnancy, but after the pregnancy is when it was discovered that she had a congenital liver disorder, and that's what eventually took her life. Her mother made a lot of bad decisions. She was very immature. She, to my knowledge, did not do drugs. But
so genetically, there is probably some resemblance between the mother's personality style and the girl's.
Exactly. We see a lot of her mother in her. But the other thing is there's a strong family history of mental health disorders on both sides of the family. Bipolar, OCD, her dad has been in and out of her life. He is a drug user.
Well, you've given me a good background here, Deb, but you got about 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, the deal is she's now, because after my husband died then when she was 12. So she went to live with my son and his wife. She has been in school, but she is now, she's older because we held her back in first grade. So she's now a 16-year-old, a freshman in high school. She's flunking high school. She's flunking. We're sending her to a Catholic school. It's harder. Our options now, because we're not getting anywhere, are to find an alternative for her. It's either public school, which we don't feel like the environment.
Deb, you're going to have to call me back. You're going to have to call me back there. I know I should have jumped in, and people are thinking, Dr. Ray, what are you doing? You let Deb give all that background. I know. I understand that. But I was waiting for the moment to try to figure out where exactly I should best analyze. Didn't make it. Walk with God, hold your kids tightly by the hand.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Underwriting for this program is from Affirm Films.
Columbia Pictures presents, in association with Affirm Films, Miracles from Heaven. When 10-year-old Anna Bean develops a rare incurable disease, her mother devotes herself to finding a solution.
Miracles are everywhere.
Then, after Anna has a freak accident, a miracle unfolds. How do we explain the impossible? Miracles from Heaven, starring Jennifer Garner, now playing. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested. More information is available at miraclesfromheaven-movie.com.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing,